I don't think tonight's teaching portion will be very long. Open with me, please, to Isaiah 55. Sometimes we just don't read enough of the Word of God. And this is very pertinent to what he's going to say tonight. I'll give you a moment. I'd like for you to see it in your Bible. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to start in verse 8. The whole book of Isaiah. So rich, but we're just going to look at a few verses here. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now we're going to stop there. It's all good. His word does not return unto him void, and it prospers where he sends it. Now, go over to Luke chapter 4 for just a moment. Years ago in the face-to-face documents, one of the things that the Lord said to me, he says, men are going to have a hard time receiving this truth. But he says, I intend for men and women, of course, I intend for my people to receive instant answers for immediate problems. Now, sometimes you need to hear, it may be a problem that's very unique. Sometimes you may really need to hear from the Holy Ghost something. But he has been showing me recently, I don't know what the percentage is, the vast majority of the time, that'll work. He's already provided the answer for just about every problem you're ever going to face. But the problem with us is his word is not top shelf. We may have it in us somewhere, but it's in the basement, in a dusty bookshelf that you haven't been to in years. I know it's down there somewhere. Give me a week, I'll go find it. But it's got to be top shelf. So we just now saw in Isaiah, my word does not return unto me void, but it prospers in the thing whereunto I sent it. So now we're going to look at Jesus. You know why I'm having you go to Luke 4. We're going to look at Jesus when he faced the onslaught of hell. I like how Dave would teach this passage. He says, we're only given three temptations, but if you think that's all there was, he said, that's a summary. Spirit, soul, and body. Hell threw all that it had at Jesus, and he overcame it. But how did he do it? See, how did he do it? Would you say if you're going to be in the fight of this, really, this is the fight of the ages. If this one is lost, mankind is lost. Because there is not another son waiting in the wings. This one has to overcome. This one has to win. Or there won't be any cross. There won't be any salvation for man. This is the battle of the ages. And if anybody ever needed instant answers for immediate problems, it's Jesus right here. So here comes the enemy throwing everything at him. There's three because spirit, soul, and body. We're not going to teach in depth tonight. So here he comes. Luke 4, we'll just start in verse 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now notice the instant answer. And Jesus answered him saying, it is written. Wait, back up. Wait, we all have that. We all have that word. That word's available to each and every one of us. We all have that. But see, for him, it's top shelf. At the forefront of his mind. It's the first thing. He has the immediate answer, instant answer for the immediate problem. It is written. He just quotes the word of God. That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So he defeated that one. That one didn't work. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. You know, Satan is called the god of this world, little g. Even Paul called him that. It is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And notice the instant answer. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for, here it is written. Wait a minute, we all have access to that word. We all have access to that. I'm going to show you a good example here in a minute. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. Now notice, because Jesus has been answering with the word every time, now the devil uses the word, but he twists it just a little bit. He's using the word, but for a out of context purpose. That's why we're so determined here to teach every scripture in its context. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, he said here, it is said, but it's also it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Instant answers to immediate problems. Now, let's get a little more down to us's, get down to us type problem. Go over to Luke 6, just a little bit further on. See, I'm not a pastor, but because of the situation, we get prayer requests and questions not only here at the church but also by email and other ways. A common one, Angie could verify this, please pray for me, I don't know what to do. I'm a Christian, everyone at work knows I'm a Christian. They are so mean to me, they purposely tell these dirty jokes around me, they cuss around me, they accuse me of being a hater and a bigot because I don't agree with their lifestyles, And I'm not trying to be pushy or anything. I'm just trying to be light. Please pray for me. I don't know what to do. And many of them say, would you please pray that I'll get a different job, you know? I used to agree with that until I grew up a little bit and said, wait a minute. You're the only light in that dark place? You ought to feel honored that God counts you worthy to be there, see. But anyway, that's not exactly what I'm teaching here. But the question, I don't know what to do. I'm the only Christian there. Please, I need counsel. Can we schedule a lunch meeting? I need to talk to you for about 4 hours and tell you about my problem. Thing of it is, we already have it is written because it was spoken. What do you do when you're being persecuted and it's really for righteousness sake? What do you do when they come against you as a Christian? I need an instant answer, Pastor Gary, because I got this problem. I got to go back to work tomorrow. Can you please give me an instant answer? Sure can. Back up to verse 27. Look at Luke 27, 6:27. But I say unto you which hear, Love your enemies. What? Do they love you? They hate me. Oh, do good to them which hate you. But you don't understand. They are cursing me. They are literally cursing me. Oh, well, bless them that curse you. I don't know what to do. It is written. Yes, you do. Problem is, it's bottom shelf and it's not top shelf. See? And then I don't want to leave out the last one. And pray for them which despitefully use you. They're not just using you. That word despitefully means they're doing it on purpose and they're getting pleasure out of doing it. They're just doing it out of spite. Shall I call down fire from heaven? That's not what he said. He said, pray for them which despitefully use you. Telling you this season of prayer and worship that we're going. I'm talking about the blueprint. And I look around, I'm always preaching to the choir. The ones that I'm talking to are the ones that are here, you know, that come. But that's okay. He's killing us dead. He said he was. He said, complete the purging process. And here's another purging that's going on. If you'd have asked me last year about this time, Gary, is the Word of God top shelf in you? I think I would have said, yes, sir. Sure is. Until he brought this out. And I'm going, how many times have I missed it needing an instant answer when the instant answer was already there in the Word the whole time? I'm going to couple this up a little bit with something else, another vein. It's similar. In fact, let's just go there. Go to Acts chapter 2. I'm just going to tell you, I can't speak for anybody else. My emotions have been battered, and I have to watch thoughts that come right now that seem like God but aren't God. And I've been battered with all kinds of, like, we need to stop that calling in the lost. It's not producing any fruit. Look how long you've been doing that. Look how few people come. I could go on and on and on and on with that. And my answer to that is, it is written. I have an assignment. I was given this assignment by somebody I really, really trust. His name is Dave Roberson. And he tells me he got it from Jesus. And I believe that. Now, I'm not the only one that can teach it. We've had others do it. But this is important. This is important. And it doesn't matter to me. Well, it matters. I can't. That's a lie. Yeah, of course I'd rather have 10,000 here. I don't know where we'd put them. Can't stop. Can't quit. We're doing it because we were told to do it by him. Through Dave, but by him. Now, the reason I'm saying that is this. Top shelf, his word. See, every time we do these confessions, what are we doing? We're top shelfing them. Even though we only do it once a week, and we should do it more often. In fact, now tonight, they're going to do a special recording. You'll notice once I start the confessions tonight, with all that is within me, I'm going to try not to do any rabbit trails. Because we're going to make a recording tonight that's going to be edited just a little, and it's going to be at the website. So anybody that wants to do these confessions, you don't have to wait till next Sunday night. You can just do them anytime you want to. So I figure if it's something the devil's trying to get me to stop, let's turn it up. He's afraid. He's afraid that we're going to have what we say. And I'm telling you right now, we are going to have what we say. We're going to have this. So, how do I tie that in? Okay, getting back to our train of thought now. Having the Word of God top shelf so that you always have instant answers for immediate problems. Now, there are times when you have to hear a rhema word. I'm not against that at all. Remember the time that Jesus told Peter to go fishing? Well, that's a rhema word. That's not something I can go, every time I have a tax problem, I'm going to go fishing. See, there's times you need a rhema word. You might need an instruction. But I'm telling you, the vast majority of the time, we already have our instant answer for the immediate problem. It's just not top shelf in us. It doesn't come to us first. So, everybody got in this agenda. Acts chapter 2, of course, is where on the day of Pentecost, 120 were gathered in the upper room. And you know the story very well. They stayed there for 10 days after Jesus was ascended into heaven. And on the day of Pentecost, here he come. The Holy Spirit was poured out. They heard a sound like as of a rushing mighty wind. They saw flames and tongues of fire. They began to speak with other tongues. And the manifestation that day was the diversity where other people heard them speaking in their known language, even though they knew that these people didn't know that language. And it was a sign to the unbeliever. It's one of the four diversities of tongues. And so it drew a great crowd of people that had assembled there in Jerusalem for the day of, for the feast of Pentecost. And so Peter preaches his first message as a spirit-filled Christian. And we're not going to go through that message. It's short and sweet and to the point. Actually, we've only got the summary. If you really read it carefully, it says, with many other words, he exhorted them. But anyway, we've got the essence of it here in chapter 2. And when he gave the altar call, now we'll pick it up at the altar call. And I have to get to it to read it. Sorry. Thought I was there. Okay. Yeah, there it is. So, verse 37, we'll just start there. He just got through preaching his message. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? This is Acts 2, verse 38 now. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, see there it is, with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Now that's talking about baptized in water, I believe. And the same day were there added unto them about 3,000 souls. Pretty good altar call. Pretty good results from your first spirit-filled message. 3,000 souls. That's pretty good. But it's the next verse. Well, what do you do with these brand new baby Christians just born again? Now, they were there for the Feast of Pentecost, meaning they were either born Jews or they were proselytes. They were considered Jews. They had come because they love God, and they had come to honor God by celebrating the Feast of Pentecost, which was a traditional celebration every year. But they got saved. They are brand new Christians now. Well, what do you do with the brand new Christians? You baptize them in water. You lay your hands on them. You get them filled into the Holy Ghost. You get them praying in tongues. Okay. But then what? Verse 41. Then they that gladly... verse 42. And they continued steadfastly, now notice, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. What do you do with these brand new Christians that don't know nothing? They know Judaism, but they don't know Christianity. Okay. Last verse, go to Matthew 28. Tell you exactly what. For years I didn't know what the apostles' doctrine was, and it was in there the whole time. It's real easy to find the apostles' doctrine. Matthew 28. The last thing Jesus said to him before he ascended into heaven. Okay. Matthew 28, starting in verse 19. Go you therefore and teach all nations. Now see, this is no longer just to the Jew. This is to all nations now. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Well, we saw that in Acts chapter 2. That they all got baptized, okay? But now notice, teaching them to observe. And that means to do. Teaching them to do all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What were they learning when they would go from house to house every day, sitting under the apostles' doctrine? The apostles would teach them the same things that Jesus had taught the apostles. They taught them the Sermon on the Mount. They taught them John 14, 15, 16. They taught everything that Jesus had taught them. They taught these new converts because they had to have the Word of God in them. See, Jesus said, and let's go there, John 14. I said it was the last verse. I wasn't lying. It's the last verse that I thought of at that moment. John 14. Gosh, this has just exploded in me in the last few weeks. John 14, verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Now, boy, the words that I speak unto you, the words that I speak not of myself. He's not originating the doctrine. He's not originating the words. But it's the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. So you're in John. Go over to John 6. I hope I can find this. I wasn't prepared anymore. I never know where he's going. Yes. John 6, 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. Now listen to this. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's been in my Bible forever. I mean, and I hope I can put it in words. He's been saying to me recently, every time I open my mouth, it's either Gary speaking or him speaking. And it's my choice. It's Gary speaking or him speaking. Jesus had that same choice. He said, I can speak or I can let him speak through me. He always chose to let the Father speak through him. No wonder he's called the Word of God, because the only thing that came out of his mouth was the Word of God. And when he says, my words are spirit, listen, God is a spirit. All the way back to Isaiah 55. The word, my word, does not return unto me void. How do you return his word to him? You speak it. You speak it. That's how you return it to him. My word does not return unto me void, but it prospers. It accomplishes the purpose for which I sent it. No wonder it says he sent his word and healed them. Hallelujah. My words, they are spirit. So you got 3,000 new believers, brand spanking new. They know a lot about Judaism. They were in Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. They don't know anything about Christianity. So what do? You sit them down and you start teaching them the words. I like to say the red letters. You start teaching them what Jesus had taught the apostles. And you teach it in a way that this is your life now. This is top shelf. This is first thought. See, we could go to Corinthians, was it first or second Corinthians 10:4? I had to look it up. Taking every thought captive. Bringing our mind into obedience. Every thought. Every thought, bringing it into obedience to Christ. What did he say? What does the word say? It is written. I'm telling you, the vast majority of the time, we already have the instant answer for the immediate problem. Our problem is, it's bottom shelf and not top shelf. That has got to change. And I notice in the prophecies, the blueprint for 2020, and I'm finishing now, I think. In the blueprint for 2020, he doesn't just talking about praying in tongues. That is a vast majority. Over and over and over again, he talks about spending hours praying the mysteries, spending hours praying the mysteries. But he also talks about worship. He talks about fasting. And he talks about going into the depth of my word. Going into the depth of my word. He's got me in the book of Mark. I don't know how long I'm going to be in the book of Mark. But, you know, I keep waiting for a release. I finish the book of Mark. I go, well, should I read now? Read the book of Mark. I'm not telling you to read the book of Mark. I don't know what he's telling you. But see, that's called obedience. And I'm going to be in Mark till he tells me I'm done with Mark. And I don't know when that'll be. But it's got to be top shelf. See, more and more I'm understanding why James said, slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I'm really working on slowing down, not speaking. Hopefully he can speak instead of Gary speak. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? I hope so. See, here's a newer picture. This has been a while, a few years ago. This Tommy Perez, for those of you, I hope the camera can see it. Tommy Perez. They were at the beach this day. I see the ocean in the background. And they were able to take him out. Now, Tommy Perez was born with cerebral palsy. Modern medical science has no hope for Tommy Perez at all. Until we can get Tommy Perez out of that wheelchair and standing here, I mean here, at the prayer center in Tulsa, standing straight and tall, giving his own testimony about what great things the Lord has done for him, our mission is not over. We are on assignment. Not just for Tommy, but for all of them that's in this box and all of them around the world. I have no doubt in my mind that if parents would go and get their children from, and I love St. Jude, we give to St. Jude. Sue and I personally, I'll just tell you, I don't care what you think, I'd like for you to help St. Jude. We give to them every month. But I know that if Jesus was still having his meetings on planet Earth in his own body, any parent that would go get their child out of St. Jude and take that child to the Jesus's meeting, he'd heal them all. Well, he's called us to do that very thing, to be the place where they can come. Let's do the blueprint. You may be getting tired of me harping on the blueprint. I don't care. That is our assignment. That is our assignment. And my job is to help encourage and exhort, and as a teacher to spank. No. Not really. Encourage. Let's do that. Yeah, let's encourage.